We need God. I like what Tammy prayed. We need God in America again. This nation needs Him. Our country, I believe, is in the valley of decision. The Scripture says in Joel chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." And so we need to make a decision in our country. We need to decide to follow God. We need to decide to follow the covenant. We're at a crossroads. Our nation can either return to what made us great, or we can continue on the path that is leading us away from the blessing and benefit of God. We're in this place that we have to decide. Our answer, though, we need to understand our answers are in the Spirit. And the church in this generation is going to have to rise up and come into the place of the Spirit, making the declarations in the Spirit, binding and loosing in the Spirit, knowing that when we pray, that we are affecting the situation that is at hand. Yes, we have to take stands politically, and yes, we have to speak up, and we have to say what needs to be said. But the most important thing that we can say and do is get into the realm of the Spirit and make the declaration and declare things lawful and unlawful in the spirit world. Can I tell you something? Yelling at abortionists will not stop abortion. It won't stop it. Because you're yelling in a language they don't even understand. But you can get in the Spirit and take authority over demon powers, and you can stop the demon forces. And now God can move in and do what needs to be done. The battle, the fight that we must fight is a fight in the Spirit. Yes, we need to go vote. And when you vote, you need to vote according to the Bible. Don't let the economy tell you how to vote. Let the Bible tell you how to vote. And stand for what is right and stand for righteousness. We need to know. See, the people who don't know our God, they don't have a voice before Him. They can't go to Him because they don't know Him. You and I have a voice. And we can speak in the Spirit on their behalf. We can speak for our nation. We have a voice and we must lift it up. This generation is in need of the hand of the Lord. And most of them don't even know it. Most of them aren't even aware of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, talk about how that these things are hidden in the Spirit, how they're hidden in God. These things that eye hasn't seen or ear heard nor come in the heart of man, they're hidden in the Spirit, but they've been hidden for us and they've been revealed to us by the Spirit. And if we can come to the place of the Spirit, the Scripture says, it says we've not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, and He will show us the things that are freely given to us from God. We go into the Spirit world, and that's where we draw the things that God has for us. That's where we'll find what God has for our nation. See, it is the will of God to reveal His will to His covenant people, so we will know what we ought to do in the day in which we live, but He will do it by His Spirit. See, we don't only have a voice with Him, we have ears that can hear what He has to say. He will talk to us. He will lead us. He'll even show us how to pray when we come into His presence. He will teach us the declaration that must be made in the Spirit realm. Jesus said over and over, He said, "He who has ears to hear." We need to make sure we have ears that will hear. And He's not talking about these things on the side of our heads. He's talking about a spiritual ear that can hear in the spirit realm. You've got to understand, you and I are spirits. We have souls. We live in bodies. But the real me is a person you've never seen with your physical eyes. Because I'm a spirit. Because I'm spirit... That means that I have the capacity to hear, to see, and to understand spiritual things. The battle for America is a spiritual one. It's not a political one. And if you and I are going to engage in this battle, we're going to have to learn to fight in the Spirit and have ears to hear. because we can hear in the spirit realm. Jesus said this of the Holy Spirit in John 16:13. He said, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Now here's something we all have to understand. The Holy Spirit is always speaking and always showing. And for me to get hold of what he is saying and showing, I must be hearing and seeing in the Spirit, because that's where he's going to show it. It'd be great if the Holy Spirit would just cancel all of my TV channels and just show up on TV and talk to me. Now, he can do that. And the reason I say that is because I know that we spend time in front of the TV. But that isn't how he's going to talk to you. He's going to talk to you in the Spirit. Just the way he talked to Jesus, led him by the Spirit. Now, you'll probably go through your whole life and never hear the audible voice of God. Never. I know a couple of people who have, but I've never heard the audible voice of God. But I've heard him speak many, many times because he speaks in my spirit. And we must become people who recognize who we are and who he is and how he wants to speak and how he wants to show. So I must always be hearing and seeing if he's always saying and showing. I've got to learn how to do that in the spirit. Our country has been extremely blessed. I mean, more than any country we know of. His will is always blessing. God's will is always blessing and increase for his covenant people. That is always the will of God. He always wants people blessed. He wants them increasing. And as long as our country abides in the covenant, we'll abide in God's blessing. As long as we do that. The word blessing, you know, is an empowerment to succeed or an empowerment to prosper. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 115:14, and I'll take this as your personal word this morning. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Somebody ought to say, "I'll take that." Okay, because he will, the Bible says, increase. The word increase means to add to or augment or to cause to continue. God wants to add to your life. God wants to augment your life. He wants it to be better tomorrow than it is today. We don't need to come to a place in our lives where we always are thinking about the good old days that are better than the bad old days of today. God wants to increase us more and more. Now, I'm going to tell you, the world is in for some bad times. But the will of God for covenant partners is he wants to increase you more and more, you and your children. I make that declaration daily that he wants to increase me and he wants to increase my children. He wants the blessing to get bigger and bigger and better in our lives. He wants that. He wants to add to our lives. God can only continue to increase America as we turn to him. As we return to him for the most part. No matter what happens in America, it's the will of God to bless you as his covenant child. Jesus said that we're not defined by the world any more than he's defined by the world. We're not of the world, the scripture says, where the world is talking about a way of living and a way of thinking that trusts in man as its source, trusts in the arm of the flesh as its source. And the scripture says very clearly in Jeremiah 17 that way of living and thinking is cursed. We are of the kingdom of God, which is a system that looks to Almighty God as the source and the only source. Hear me say this. The increase that the scripture talks about, increase without God is limited. Increase without him, there is a cap on that. The resources of the earth are limited. Amen. There's only so much gold on the planet. There's only so much oil. The resources of planet earth are limited. By the way, there's as much gold today as there was 50, 100, 300, 400 years ago. We're not running out of it. Just much of it's in the wrong hands is the problem. but there's a limited amount of it. There's a limited amount of the resources. God's resources are unlimited. He will never run out. He can just create more. I mean, I'm sure you've heard the story of the guy who wanted to be when he got buried in his casket. He wanted to be buried with gold, and he wanted to have bars of gold in his casket. And he's there in his casket. It's got bars of gold, and the two angels are standing by, and they were looking at each other. And one of them says to the other one, he says, "Why do you think he wants to be buried with pavement?" See, because the resources here are limited. There is no limit to gold with God. There's no limit to the resource that he would have. In the earth, there's a limit. The way of man is limited. If you look at man as your source, or the government, or the preacher, or anybody else, you look at somebody as your source, there's a limit to the supply. But if you look to God as your source, there's an unlimited supply. In the world system, which is apart from the blessing of God, when the supply runs low, and the supply is running out, in order for a person to get more from their supply source, where are they going to get it? They got to take it from somebody else. And when they take it from somebody else, that sometimes starts a war. And people get mad because the resource is being stolen by somebody else because there's a limited supply. Their system can only go so far. There's only so much of it. But in the system of the kingdom of God, where there is increase without limit, we will never have to steal it from another person. I don't have to get your blessing. God isn't short on blessing. God isn't short on the ability to provide my needs. He does. Listen, God is not choosing between the electric bill and the gas bill. God is not choosing between getting to bless you or getting to bless me. He's got enough for everybody. And if he needs more, as I've already said, he can just make more because he made it in the first place. We need to know their system is capped. It's cursed. We are a part of the system of the kingdom of God. In his system, we increase and increase and increase. That is his will. I like this verse of Scripture, and we're going to turn to one here in just a minute, but in 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, it says this. It says, "But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself," and listen, "and that wicked one toucheth him not." We're talking about being in a different system. "And that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole earth lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us and understanding that we may know him that is true." He has given us an understanding so that the curse of the age doesn't get to touch us. Hallelujah for that. Why? Because we're not of the world. We're of a different system than the world. Our system is the kingdom. Our system is the kingdom operating by faith, which works by love, all the time. We don't have to steal to get it. We just get to receive it from God through that channel we've been talking about by believing him that grace is poured out upon us and we live, operate, and move in the favor of God. Isn't that good? Why don't you turn with me to John chapter 1. We're going to look at our master text that we've been looking at for a few weeks now. John chapter 1, down in verse 14 is where we'll start. John 1, 14. I'm enjoying talking about favor. I'm enjoying talking about grace. Look what this says in John chapter 1, verse 14. And it says, "And the Word," speaking of Jesus, "was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all we received, and grace for grace." Let me read it from the Amplified, verse 16. "For out of his fullness abundance. We have all received, all had a share, and were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. I really do like that. I like the fact that it says, we have all received. It's a past tense word. All had a share, and we were supplied with. In other words, it's already there. We've already been supplied with grace upon grace. Spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. Some would say, oh, well, Pastor, that's talking about spirit. Absolutely. What are you? You're spirit. Every blessing that ever came into your life began in the spirit realm. When God, who is spirit, said, light be. Light became. Where did it begin? It began in the spirit realm. God's intent for favor, for grace, for blessing on your life begins in the spirit realm. But it's not limited to the spirit realm. It has to start there to be manifest in the natural realm. The scripture here says, we already have been supplied with. We already have them. They've already been paid for. You don't have to pay for them. In fact, you can't pay for these things. You already have them, and it says you have grace upon grace. Favor upon favor. I love the last phrase. Gift heaped upon gift. All of those terms that are listed there, favor, blessing, gift, grace, they're all from the same Greek word, charis, which is talking about the grace, the favor of God. And it's talking about, that verse is actually talking about, that we have layers and layers and layers of grace. Layers and layers and layers of favor. Most of the church world knows nothing about the layers of grace. We've limited the teaching of grace to this one-time experience of making Jesus the Lord of our lives, and we're thinking that grace is only involved in the new birth. But the Christian life is meant to be lived in this spectrum of grace every single day. Every event. The favor of God is already purchased. It's already ours. We already possess it. It's just a matter of increasing the layers, getting another layer of grace, getting another layer of favor. Like on a cold winter day, you go outside and you find out the long sleeve shirt wasn't enough, so you get another layer of warmth. And then you find another layer. Back in the old days, they told you just to dress in one big heavy coat. And they decided later that that wasn't the way to do it. Now you dress in several layers of lighter clothing because the layers buffer and hold in the heat better than anything else. We have layers of favor that are available to us. We should be having more than one layer of the favor of God. Man, we need layers of it. Layers of it. See, we ought to be going from one layer of grace to another layer of grace. See, there's more than just the grace to get you to heaven. There's the favor to get you healed. There's the favor. Listen, there is the favor to get your bills paid. There is the favor, the grace to get you out of debt. Somebody ought to be saying, I'll take that one. See, because there's this grace, it's available. The favor of God is available for all the areas of our lives. There's favor. There's grace. The Bible says, Ephesians 2:8, which is one of our favorite verses of Scripture, it says, for by grace, favor, a gift, are you saved. That not of yourselves, oh, through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. You are saved by God's favor. As you believe what He promised you. God did you a favor when He allowed you to be born again. Would you agree with that? You weren't doing God a favor. He was doing you a favor. Over the years, I've heard people say things like this. They would say, well, you know what? Since God didn't do that, I'm just quitting. And I always think that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You didn't do God a favor when you got saved. And when you quit, is that going to make heaven stop? Does that make the Word of God null and void? Does that mean there is no grace available? No, the grace is already available. And when it didn't work out the way you thought it was, it wasn't a problem on God's part. God is never wrong, you realize, right? And He does us the favor. I am saved by favor. And we've talked about the word saved is the Greek word sozo, which doesn't mean born again only. It means to be delivered, rescued, made well, made whole. It means to for Him to come and take care of every part of my life. I am rescued from the bill collector by grace. I am rescued from making a bad deal in my business by grace. I'm delivered. You see, we need to know that grace is for everything we're doing. We can walk and live and have our lives in grace. The grace comes from God. Now, we've defined the word grace. Charis is the Greek word. It means graciousness. It means kindness by which God exerts His influence upon us. Grace is God's kindness. Gary was saying during the tithe and offering, God is nice. Yeah, He's kind. Because He's full of grace. Kind. God is just kind. He didn't have to save me, but He's kind. And He did. He had to because His Word said if I would confess Jesus as my Lord, He would do it. But He's kind. He is just kind. You do not deserve to get out of one mess that you get in because you got in there, right? But aren't you happy that He's kind? Aren't you happy that you don't get what you deserve? You get grace upon grace, favor upon favor, gift heaped upon gift. Man, see, God doesn't just allow us to have favor. It's His will for us to have favor. God is not in heaven looking for a way to punish you. God is in heaven looking for a way to keep you from having to be punished. God, He's got to be the ultimate grandfather. You know, I know He's our Father, but when my grandkids are at my house, I don't want them to get a spanking. And I am looking for every way possible to get them out of it. I mean, I'll tell their parents, I'll say, oh, no, I told him to do that. I don't lie to them, but, I'm looking for a way. I'm looking for the loophole to get them out of the punishment. God is looking for a way. He's looking for a way to get blessing to you. He's looking for a way to get you healed, to get you delivered, to get you rescued. He's looking for the answer. The Holy Spirit is speaking. He's showing. And God is doing everything that He can do to get you to see it, to know it, to receive it. Christians spend their whole lives thinking, oh, man, I hope I'm doing this right. I hope I'm doing that. And they're trying to follow some formula, follow some rules. And you do have to obey what the Spirit tells you to do. Don't get me wrong about that. But here's the deal. God is not about formulas. He's good. He's kind. And He wants to help you out. He's not up in heaven thinking, well, I'm not helping them today because they cussed. Can I tell you something? You're a whole lot more worried about cussing than God is. Connor, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to everybody else. God is not that. He's not that caught up in your performance. The Bible not one time says that you please God by your performance. You please God by your faith. What's the purpose of your faith? To bring the grace. Does that mean I get to cuss? No. No. It means you don't want to cuss anymore. You found somebody better than cussing. You learned that you don't want to be damned. You don't want other people to be damned. You want the blessing of God because you want to be like Him. You enjoy Him so much. And you now become a channel of grace yourself. You don't want the curse. You don't want to have to get into sin. The sin is not because I can't do this. It's because I want Him, and I want to stay in this surrounding of grace that's all over me. It's a whole different attitude. God, see, your cussing doesn't cut off the grace. Your cussing may cut off the fellowship because your heart now is going to condemn you. And when you cut off the fellowship, eventually, when you cut off fellowship with God, now let me just say this to you. If you ever cut off fellowship with God, eventually that will cause you to deny Him. And that's when you're in trouble, because that's when you step outside of grace. And now you enter into the world's system and have to somehow get your need met a whole different way. See, God wants you to have it. It's His desire to get you in His grace. So far as we've looked at this favor or looked at grace, we found out that we, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, are highly favored. We showed you that we're accepted in the Beloved, and that's the same Greek language. We are highly favored. Not just regularly favored, we are highly favored. You are God's favorite. He has lots of favorites, but I'm telling you, I am one of them. I am His favorite. Why? Because the Scripture says I am. Highly favored. Highly favored of the Lord. We found out that grace draws the blessing of God to me. As I walk in favor, the blessing just comes to me. It comes to me. The favor goes before me. And because it's gone before me, when I arrive on the scene, it's already made ready for me. The favor of God made it happen for me. I find out that I'm in the right place at the right time for the right situation, the right opportunity every single time because of grace. Not because I'm smart. Because of grace. I can't even take credit for it. Remember one time, somebody asked Tammy and I, they said, how do you start a church? You know what her answer was? We don't know. We don't know. It's grace. It's favor. God's grace does it for us. I tell you, the grace of God is the best thing you can get hold of. Because it's just chocked full of the love of God. If you can get a hold of the grace of God, I'm telling you, things will just open up and things will just begin to happen to you because you're highly favored. Things are just drawn to you. The curse is repelled from you. It can't even get to you. We talked about how the grace drew all the fish in the sea. It was the toil and the curse of this age that repelled them all. Grace will bring it. We have grace on our lives, and the blessing is drawn to us. Listen, you don't have to try to get it. When you walk in grace, it comes to you. You don't have to go looking for it. It comes to you. That's what the Scripture is talking about, that the blessing will overtake you. That's grace. I mean, you just walk in grace, and it just sticks to you. The good things just stick to you wherever you go. This is the greatest thing we can know, is that His grace does it. You just find what God wants. Now, it may take some time. If you haven't been believing for grace, it may take some time to get things to turn around in your life. But today's the day to start. It may take a couple of months for all that garbage to fall off of you. But grace is what you need. Begin to walk and to live and to believe for grace. When you realize that you're the blessed, man, you begin to operate in a new expectation of blessing. By the way, Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes you rich. And He adds no sorrow to it. And you can look up those words however you like to, in and out of context, and it means money. God wants you blessed. He wants you to have good things. See, we've seen that favor is the presence of God. God being there. And we found out that if God is there, there is rest. We can rest if His favor is there. Last week, we've talked about living our lives in the bubble of grace or being in this shield of God's grace. We're compassed, the Bible says, with the shield of God's grace. So I want you to look at something today that I think you'll find very, very important. Acts chapter 4, verse 33 says this. And you can look it up. I have it in my notes, but you can look it up. They've been praying. And they got beat for getting a guy healed. And they go back to the church. They tell the church that they got beat. And they pray this wonderful prayer. And they ask the Lord to give them boldness so they can keep doing exactly what they were doing that got them in trouble. They ask God to continue to heal. And they ask God to continue to give them boldness to preach. And they ask Him to stretch out His hand for miracles and signs and wonders. And where they were, they prayed and the place was shaken because God really obviously liked their prayer. And it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And in verse 33, it says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all." And great grace. The Amplified says it this way. "And great grace, loving kindness and favor and goodwill rested richly upon them all." The Bible here says there was great grace upon them all. Great grace. The word great, the Greek word is megas. It just means big. There was big grace upon them. So if there's big grace, there's little grace. Now, apparently, we have some say-so. We can either have little grace, medium grace, or big grace. I'm voting for big. How about you? I want big grace. I want to have a lot of grace. It says it was great grace. It wasn't just regular grace. I mean, it was grace that was accompanied by great power. And the Scripture says it was upon them all. Let me just pronounce it to you today. Great grace upon you all. I take it in Jesus' name. Great grace. I don't want just regular grace. I want the kind of favor that's on my life that, man, I mean, wherever I am, people are saying, "Who is that guy? What is it about that guy? Here, take this. Here, let me do this." Grace. Grace. Favor that brings the promise into manifestation. Great grace. Man, there needs to be a great release of great grace upon. It says it was upon them. I mean, it was on them. Wherever they went, the grace was on them. See, they had faith in them that brought the favor on them. I mean, grace was upon them all. Wherever they were, it was obvious it was upon them. So, in other words, there can be degrees of grace, and the grace can come upon you. Listen to this verse of Scripture, 2 Peter 3:18. We're going to find out, I think we're going to have time today to find out how we can get it to get bigger. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, "But grow in grace." Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. It says to grow in grace. The word grow in the Greek literally means to enlarge. Get bigger. It says to grow. Get bigger in grace. We ought to be getting bigger where grace is concerned. We ought to be growing another layer of grace today. Let's get a new layer. I want to grow in grace. Most stopped. When they got that first layer of grace, somebody said, "Okay, that's good from now on, because once you got that layer, you're done. And now you just have to die and get to go to heaven." What a miserable way to live a Christian life. People are going to get to heaven and not even know Him because they got one layer of grace. Man, I want the layer of grace that draws me into the throne room. The layer of His presence where that I know Him and He knows me. That I'm being changed because I'm recognizing Him and I'm wanting to be like Him because I see Him as He is. Grow in grace, the Bible says. We should be growing in it. It says we're to grow, to get bigger in grace. There's so much more grace. We should be growing layers of favor that we read the Scripture last week that allow us to stand like a mountain in the face of whatever comes our way. Because there's, see, the devil, he might can break through that one layer, but he can't break through a bunch of layers. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Every day we ought to wake up looking at a new layer, a new gift from the Holy Ghost. See, we need that. See, God, His favor ought to be on us at work. It ought to be on us in the marketplace, in the park. Wherever we are, there ought to be grace on our lives. Grace that's on us. I mean, just all around us, all through us. James 4, verse 6 says this, "But he giveth more grace." More grace. I need more grace. How about you? Grace is His presence. Grace is His goodness. Grace is His kindness. I need more of Him. I need more of the fullness of His joy. I need more. The word more is the irregular comparison of the word megas, which means larger. It says He gives larger grace, bigger grace. There's more grace than I've got. I want it to be bigger. Now, that never says, the Bible never says you can get to the place where you can't get any more. No matter how much grace you walk in, you can get more grace. Well, you can't buy it. He gives it. He gives more grace. He wants you to have more favor than you've ever had in your life. He wants that. He likes it. Man, the Holy Spirit comes upon us when we're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Grace can be upon us. We can be dripping with grace. Man, it should be there. Listen to this verse of Scripture. Grace was upon Jesus, the Bible says. Luke 2, verse 40. And the child, talking about Jesus, grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Jesus needed grace? Yeah, Jesus needed grace. We'll look at it more in just a minute. Jesus needed grace to be upon him. The grace of God was upon him. How did he do anything he did? Grace. He believed God. He heard the Father. He obeyed the Father. Grace did the work. Grace was upon Jesus. Listen to this verse of Scripture. This is Luke 2, 52. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. What? Wait a minute. The Scripture just said Jesus increased in favor with God. Jesus increased. If he increased, I ought to increase. With God's favor. And I'm going to show you something that's really fun here in just a minute about Jesus and this favor. Favor is something we must increase in. If we're going to fulfill the call of God on our lives as Jesus did, we're going to have more grace and increase and increase and increase. Ladies and gentlemen, in the day in which we live, we better be increasing in God's favor. Where sin doth abound, what does more abound? Grace. I need more grace today than I needed the day I got born again. Doesn't matter how rank a sinner you were when you got born again, you need grace, more grace today. You need to increase. Jesus increased in favor with God and with man. That means that Jesus operated as a man while he was here on the earth. We've talked about this many times in the past. Philippians chapter 2 shows that Jesus divested himself of all of that heavenly stuff and became a man, just like you and me. He said he did everything he did as the Son of Man. Jesus, in order to operate as the Son of Man, in order to do what he did, he had to, like you and I, he had to learn how to increase in grace. Increase in grace. Increase in favor. We should do that as well. We should increase. All right? Grace, as we said, is favor. Favor is His presence. We ought to be operating in a layer. Grace, we've already taught this, comes as we believe what God has promised us. Grace comes through the channel of our faith. Romans 4:16 says, therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith, depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all. The reason it's got to be by faith and grace has to come is because if you could work for it and earn it, it would never be grace. Then God would owe you something. God doesn't owe us anything. God does me a favor every morning by allowing my legs to work when I stand up when I get out of bed. But that is grace. I just be a puddle on the floor. It's I believe him. He brings grace, and things happen in my life that I could never do on my own because it's grace. And if it's by faith, if it's grace that comes to me by faith, then what that means is I can never take credit for it. I can't even earn it. And if I can't earn it, that means he pays me more than I deserve to be paid. He gets me good that I don't deserve to have. Because it's all grace. Well, Pastor, does that mean we don't have to work? Didn't say that. You don't have to toil. You need to work where he says for you to work. Now, if he comes and says, don't work, don't work. If he comes and says, work here, work here. If he comes and says, quit that job and go to this one, quit it and go to that one. But find out what he said and let him do the rest. Well, the Lord told me to go to work over here, but they don't pay enough. If you go there, they will. Either they will or he will. Somebody's going to make up the difference because it's up to him. It's grace. It's favor that will do it for you. We need to get in that place of his favor, his grace. All right? Let me tell you something about faith. Faith never puts pressure on people. If I'm believing God for a new car and you are a new car dealer, I'm not going to go to you and put pressure on you. That's what a lot of Christians do, right? Oh, we're believing God for $1 million or $100, and I know somebody who has $100, so let's go fellowship with them. And then you get in there, not you, they get in there with them and they go, wow, we sure could use $100. But we're trusting God, we sure could use $100. We know God's our source, we sure could use $100. And they begin to put pressure on a person. Faith never puts pressure on people. Faith puts pressure on grace. What faith does is it opens up and says, I believe you, God, and now grace can come. And can I tell you, there's $100 in grace. It may come from somebody else. It may come from a source you've never heard of before. But faith doesn't put pressure on people. Faith believes what God says so grace can come to us. Faith comes as we spend time meditating in the promises, meditating in the Word of God, spending time with us, and then the channel gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and so the packages of grace can get bigger and bigger and bigger, and we can grow and have more and more grace that we've seen. We saw that Jesus had to increase in favor, increase in the grace that was upon him. The Bible says this in Hebrews 4:16. I know I'm just reading you a lot of verses, but hopefully you're taking good notes. It says this, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I think a lot of Christians have a vision of the throne of God. And when they think of the throne of God, they have this vision of the Wizard of Oz. You know, when Dorothy and Toto and the Scarecrow and all them get there the first time, and there's lightning and there's thundering and there's this loud booming voice, what are you doing in my presence? And we had this thought that that's what the throne of God is like, that there's lightning and there's austerity everywhere, and that God is on the throne looking down with a scepter in his hand. And if you don't do right, you're zapped. What did that verse just say? It says it's the throne of grace. Grace means kindness. It's the throne of kindness. Instead of it being like the throne on the Wizard of Oz, it's like the throne of that king of the Island of Misfit Toys. You know, he's like all nice all the time, and he's finding a place for people, and he's good. That's the throne of God. Yes, he's God. He's Almighty God. But the Scripture says he has this throne, and it's a throne of grace. And his throne, the Bible says, in his presence are pleasures evermore. It's a good place to be. If you're not a prayer, you need to be one so you can come into this place of grace like you've never been in before. coming into His presence where there's all this goodness, where you get into the throne room of grace, favor, gifts. I mean, it's a throne of grace. He says, come to this throne of grace so you can find help in the presence of God where there's this grace. Grace helps you. God isn't hindering you. God isn't giving you things in your life to stop you. God is the giver of grace, grace, grace. He's not trying to keep you out. There's this throne room that the Bible says we can enter boldly. Come boldly. That means with confidence, not with some timidity, not afraid He's going to kick us out. The blood of Jesus has made me throne room ready, and I can come into His presence, and there's help right there. It's grace that He's going to give to me. Even when God rebukes you, it's grace. It's good. I remember one time the Lord rebuked me. He told me I was praying, crying about something. You know how you do. And it was a big deal. And I was at the church. And I was crying. I was praying. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I don't know if I've heard Him this clearly many times. He said, it's your fault. But when He said it, it was so nice. And I thought, it took me a minute to realize I'd been rebuked. And I finally said, oh, yes. What? You're right. It's my fault. But He didn't tell me it was my fault so He could condemn me. He said, so let me tell you what to do. He didn't say, well, you idiot, it's your fault, so just too bad for you. He didn't say, it's your fault, it's too big for me. He said, it's your fault. And when He said that, I knew He would tell me how to get out. And He did it exactly. There was no more fear or worry about the situation. Grace is in His throne room. We can find help. In the time of our need, we can come. He helps us. Find grace to help. Find a gift to help in the time of need. Find a favor to help in the time of need. Instead of me going to somebody and say, hey, can you do me a favor? How about if I go to the throne of favors? Oh, God, I've come to find a favor. And he either has it already or He can make one for me, and He gives it. I come confidently because of the blood of Jesus. Man, there's kindness. There's not anger. There's kindness. The Apostle Paul said this. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. He wasn't saying, I'm a loser and it's by the grace of God. I'm just what I am by the grace of God. That's not what he was saying here. Let me read you the whole thing. He says, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul understood the need for favor because only by the favor of God was he going to fulfill what God called him to do. Apart from that, he was not going to fulfill the call of God. He realized that what God told him to do, he could not do on his own. But he knew he had to have favor. He knew God had to open the doors. He knew God had to make the way. He knew that God had to do it. He said, I'm what I am. I'm in the place I am. I'm writing this letter, writing most of the New Testament by the grace of God. Because that's the call of God in my life. That's what I'm supposed to do. It's the grace that enables me. It's the grace that empowers me. And I've been to the throne of grace. You see, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's the grace of God. And you can't earn it. It's His grace. Jesus, we saw, increased in favor. The church in Acts had great grace. How do we do that? Let me take 10 more minutes. Let me just read a couple of verses to you. Psalm 89:17. King James Version says it this way. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. Favor is God's idea. We don't talk Him into it. But let me read you that very same verse from the complete Jewish Bible. I want more favor. How about you? Get ready to get this. There are a couple more we're going to talk about, but this one in particular is really good. It says, for you yourself, the complete Jewish Bible, Psalm 89:17, for you yourself are the strength in which they glory. Our power grows by pleasing you. Our power grows by pleasing you. Did you catch that? Favor, power, grows by pleasing Him. You want to walk in favor? You want to walk in grace? You walk in this life of pleasing Him. Listen to this verse of Scripture, Proverbs 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. When you please the Lord, favor comes. And when you please the Lord, your enemies are at peace with you. Here's what it said. The Lord makes your enemies to be at peace with you. It doesn't say you don't have enemies. It says the Lord makes them be at peace with you. They may still hate you. But favor comes because you're pleasing the Lord. Living a life that gives pleasure to the Lord allows Him the pleasure of bringing favor into your life, and that makes your enemies be at peace with you. For some reason, you're walking in the favor of God, and they're too busy to fight with you. They're too busy to come after you. The favor is all over you, and they can't even get around to working against you because the favor of God, I love it. He makes them be at peace with you. Why? Because the favor comes. They don't even know why they would have peace with you. They don't even know why they would do something good for you. Your enemies will be at peace with you. They may still hate you, but they give you the money. They'll give you the opportunity. It says when our ways please the Lord, favor now comes. Man, the favor comes to us. Listen to this verse of Scripture. Psalm 41, this is verses 10 and 11. But thou, Lord, be merciful unto me and raise me up that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me because my enemy doth not triumph over me. He said, man, here's how I know I've got favor. I don't get beat by the enemy. My enemies, they have to be at peace with me because of favor. I may still have them, but I don't even have to know about it because favor is on me. Favor. See, it's not the guy at the electric company that's my enemy. It's a spirit behind it. And that guy's going to have favor on me. Favor. That's how I know. That's what the psalmist said. That's how I know I have favor. Listen, this is Ecclesiastes 7:26. It says, this is an interesting verse. It says, I find it more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bands. He says, worse to die than it is to get a bad woman. That's what he's saying. Or worse to get a bad woman than to die. That's what he's saying. He says, whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. When you please the Lord, when your life is pleasing to the Lord, you escape because favor comes to you. When the favor of the Lord is on you, you will escape. Favor causes you to escape. Walking in a way that pleases the Lord is a way to increase in favor, increase in grace. I'm almost done. Listen to this. Jesus increased in favor. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Jesus came up from the baptismal waters. The Lord says, and lo, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Pleasing the Lord increases favor. As I live a life and I increase in favor, then what that causes, my enemies can't do anything to me. Remember Jesus, several times in the Scripture, He would be preaching or doing something and they tried to kill Him, remember? In His hometown one day, He was preaching. They didn't like the message. They were going to take Him outside town and throw Him over a cliff and stone Him. But He just walked away. More than one time, they were wanting to kill Him. They were wanting to stone Him. And He just would walk away. And they couldn't find Him. Because every time it says that, it says His time was not yet come. His time was not yet, I think is how it says in the King James. His time was not yet. And until the time came that Jesus laid down his life, because he said, no man takes my life, I give it away. And until it was time for him to lay down his life, nobody could take it. And his enemies could not even touch him. He was walking in favor. He's preaching the gospel. He's pleasing the Father. He's doing exactly what the Father told him to do. He's pleasing the Father. They don't like it. They're going to kill him. And it's almost like on that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Remember when the angel is in the house and they're going to handcuff him, and it's the policeman and the cab driver, and they're going to put the handcuffs on him, and the angel begins to yell for Joseph, and all of a sudden he disappears, and the guy's looking for him. He can't find him in the snow. Favor causes the enemy to not even be able to find you. Jesus just walked away, and they could not kill him until he gave his life away. Too many Christians are believing that the enemy can overpower them rather than pleasing the Lord and walking in favor. See, I think about these young men going to Asia. In the will of God, I hope you understand, when they go, they're pleasing the Lord. I'm going to tell you that right now, because there's no way these two guys could have raised $4,000 apiece on their own. It took the favor of God. Favor. They're pleasing the Lord. And as they're pleasing the Lord, whatever plots the enemy has planned, whatever he thinks he might do, his plans are already foiled, because we pronounce right now grace on you. Grace. And the enemy, he won't even know. He may try, but you'll walk away unscathed, and he won't even know how you got out of there. Grace is what's going to do that. Grace. But that's true for you tomorrow at work. Oh, you may have an employee, a fellow employee there that's plotting something. You walk in and walk out. You may not even know it ever happened, because the grace of God will be upon you, because your way is pleasing the Lord. You choose, I please you, Lord. I will do whatever you say. I was going to say about these boys, they are safer in the will of God, in Cambodia and Thailand, in the grace of God, than they would be right here in this building with us next Sunday. Because they're pleasing Him. Now, it pleases Him for us to be here, but next Sunday it's pleasing Him for them to be there. Grace is on them. Grace is on you. We have this favor. Jesus walked in this supernatural favor. He had so much favor that his enemies couldn't lay a hand upon him. Let me read you John 8, verse 29. Jesus said this. He said, I do always those things that please him. That's why Jesus had favor. That's how he grew in favor. That's how he increased in favor and grace. He said, I do always those things that please him. What pleases him? We know one ingredient of pleasing God has to be believing. And when we believe him, that pleases him. That means I'll go to my job that I hate, even if I hate it, because I know God sent me there, and I will please him. I'll work hard while I'm there. I'll have the right attitude while I'm there, because that will please him, and grace will come all over me. I'll not gossip. I'll not gripe with the other employees. I will please the Lord. Grace. Grace now comes. Favor comes. I'm going to tell you, if you're the guy that's doing all that stuff, the favor will come. You'll get the promotion, and they'll still be sitting there griping, but now about you. Because of grace. Because of grace. Because of grace. You just got to please him. Just pleasing him. Ryan had a post about a guy at his work. What was it he told you? He said that he worked at the other place, and he said something about, you need to get a real job, or something. I can't remember what it was.
He said eventually Tiffany was going to need me to quit dreaming about changing the world.
Oh, that's it. Settle down and get a real job. Yeah, the guy says, Tiffany will needs Ryan to get a real job and quit dreaming about changing the world. Well, Ryan never quit dreaming about changing the world. He kept dreaming about pleasing the Lord. And he said in his post on Facebook or Twitter, he's not on Facebook or Twitter, it said, that guy's still working in that same job. Ryan is now going all over the world and changing the world. Why? Grace will bring you the promotion. Grace will bring you to the place you're supposed to be. As we please the Lord, that's it. Now, let me close by telling you this. Pleasing the Lord is more a matter of your will than anything else. Well, I don't know how to please the Lord. Yes, you do. You know, first of all, not to be talking like that. Jesus was in the garden and he prayed. He said, not my will, but thine be done. What that says is that Jesus had a will that was separate from the Father. And he had to bring that will into subjection to the Father's will. And when he said, not what I want, what you want. I will do what you want, even though I don't want to do what you want. I want to do what you want. Pleasing the Lord is a matter of your will. Choosing to please him. Choosing to tell the truth. Choosing to work hard while you're at work. Choosing to be where you say you're going to be when you say you're going to be there. Choosing to stand for him. That's a matter of your will. And when you submit your will to his will, you please him, because now you'll operate in faith that pleases him, and grace will grow. That's just one of the things we're going to talk about as far as increasing in grace. Grace will grow. I don't know about you. I want more grace. I want to please you, Father. I want you to be pleased with what I do this morning, this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow. I want you to be pleased with me. When emotionally, I don't feel like it. When I'm tired of it. When I'm frustrated. When I think it's not working. I will to please you. I know this. The Scripture says it. It says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Lord, I'm tired, but you know what? I praise you. I thank you that it's working for me. I thank you that grace is coming because that's what you promised. Let's pray. Father, today, we declare in this room, we want more grace. We want more grace. We want to grow in grace. We want to be like you, Lord Jesus. We want to grow in favor with God. Grow in favor with man. We want to be people of great grace. More grace. We want the grace. Come on. Just tell him, I want the grace. I want more grace. I want the favor to be upon me. I want it. I want it. I want it. And Father, I am willing to lay down my life, not as some act of false humility, but Lord, as an act of adoration to you, and say to you, I want my life to please you. I want you more than I want anything else, more than I want anyone else. I want to please you. And I know, Lord, that as I'm walking in a way that pleases you, grace is all over. Great grace. Great grace. Father, thank you.